All right. As the children are dismissed to Children's Church, I want to let you guys know something. We have some of the most incredible young people in the world in our church. And yesterday, at a garage sale, those teenagers worked so hard. And those teenagers, along with you guys who came, you guys who had lunch, you guys who sold baking and came and brought baking, We made $2,500 yesterday. Wow, hey. Thank you, guys. That was incredible. There's a little bit of the baking left that if you would like to come get some after church, there'll be a couple of us there, and we would love to send some baking home with you. There's a little bit left over, and it's bonus baking, so it's not leftover, it's bonus. So come get some after. Oh, man. A whole bunch of people just joined our family a couple minutes ago. Isn't that neat? Yeah. In some ways, it just feels like a technicality, but it's not a technicality to me. You know, I feel like I have new people in my family. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, to the 28th chapter. And I want to start by telling you guys a story. And that's why I'm sitting. It's easier to tell a good story when you sit. I find it is. I want to tell you guys a story. So, Acts 27 was about a storm. There was a vicious storm that came and swept Paul and Luke and swept their boat away from the island of Crete where they were going to stay, and they wandered through the Mediterranean. And eventually, their boat was pushed by the wind towards another island where they ended up crashing. That island was called Malta, and that island is just south of Italy. It's just south of Rome, and by just south, a couple hundred miles, a couple hours. And God crashed them there. But the question for today is, did God need them there? Because maybe God had them right where he needed them. Maybe God has you right where he needs you. Next month, Cooper will have his very first birthday, and it's exciting, but at the same time brings back memories. So my son Cooper was born, the doctors believe, over a month early, and we lived in the hospital for a little while. And we weren't the only ones that have gone through this. I don't tell you this story to make you feel bad for me. If we asked every person in this room who's had a pregnancy and a delivery go not the way they planned, I think a lot of moms would stand up. And I think a lot of moms spent a lot more time in the hospital than me and Chantel. But it doesn't mean it didn't hurt. It doesn't mean it wasn't hard. You know? And to have Cooper, me and Chantel tried to have Cooper for over a year. And God didn't give us a baby for a long time. And like I said, some of you in this room, if I asked every mother to stand up who's waited for a baby and not got one, a lot of us would stand up. And I'm not telling you this story to make you feel bad for me, but to let you know that I've went through a storm, you know? Some of you have gone through storms. That was the sermon last Sunday from Pastor Bob. God is in control in the middle of the storm. He's in control. My sermon is now the result. So the question that we always ask when we come out on the far side of the storm is, why? Why did I have to go through that storm? Do we stop to think that maybe God has you right where he needs you? As a pastor, there's expectations. There's expectations that that I don't doubt my faith and I don't doubt my salvation. There's expectations that I read my Bible every day and pray and I've never missed a day. There's expectations that when I'm in the hospital looking at my son who was not able to live by himself, that I trust in God and I don't doubt. But I did. And that was a storm for me. You know, holding your wife as she cries. It's been 5 days. She hasn't held her son yet. And her son is half alive with machines keeping him alive. And she can hardly reach in and touch him. And one night she begins to cry. And she just wonders why. Why couldn't God just give us the delivery that we wanted, the baby that we wanted? Why? You know? Why? And it's easy for us to start asking God and say, God, why did you do this? And then we blame God and say, God, this is your fault. Because obviously, God's plan wasn't to take us through a storm. God, you would never take us through a storm. This must be Satan. Why? You would never take me through a storm, God. Why? But does God take us through storms? Maybe God had me right where he wanted me. I was upset with God. And I don't tell people stories like this because you're not supposed to look at your pastor and think that he doubts God sometimes. You're not supposed to look at him and think, wow, my pastor has really been upset with God sometimes. But you can't sit there and look at your son and watch the machine breathe for him because he can't do that. And you can't not feel hurt, you know? That was the storm I was going through. Why? God wanted to make me a better person. God wanted to teach me about patience. God wanted to teach me about trust. God wanted to teach me how to love my wife. God wanted to teach me how to pray in a way that I haven't prayed before. Who knows? All of them? Maybe. One thing that I clearly remember is that God was telling me to learn how to rest. And some of us don't know how to rest, and I'm not good at it. You know how many times the Bible talks about resting? Look as you read. From now on, when you're reading, maybe you'll notice that word. It's all over. It's all over. Rest. You know that God even referred to the promised land as rest. It was going to be the place where they would rest. And at the end of the book of Joshua, when they finally finished taking the whole promised land, it says that God gave his people rest. And God was teaching me that in the moment when I can't do anything, how much money I had in my savings account, it didn't matter. How prepared I was, it didn't matter. All the things that in life that we can do to prepare, it didn't matter. My baby couldn't live by himself. And God said, Darren, rest. I am here. Rest. Yes, your baby can't breathe by himself, but I can help him breathe. I am here. Just rest. And that's a hard lesson to learn. And then I started spotting that word the more I would read the Bible, because of course now you're thinking about it, it stands out to you. And I struggle with anxiety sometimes because I take what I do very personally. My job is incredibly personal to me. My job is who I am. And when I fail, when I make mistakes, I take that personally. And this hasn't been the best year for me. It's been a hard year. I've been making mistakes. And I'm learning how to work through that and to rest and to say, God, you are in control. You are teaching me something. There must be a reason why you're taking me through this storm. Maybe you have me right where you need me. In Sunday school, in youth group Sunday school, we are reading through the book of Job right now and talking about Job. And that's an incredible example of a guy that could have asked God why, could have blamed God for everything. And yet, I don't know, Job was upset, but he wasn't blaming God. He was angry, but he was angry at his circumstances. And he made mistakes. He wasn't a perfect person. But God was leading him somewhere, and then at the end, he had him exactly where he needed him. You know? I think that's where God took me. I think maybe with some of you, that's where God's taking you right now. So, Acts 28, verse 1. Follow along. Let's read a little bit together. It says this. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire. They welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and they said he was a god. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. Oh, I should go back and read 7 to 10. Well, this is the good part. I'm in fast forward, you guys. They haven't even went to Publius's house yet. Verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius. He was the chief official of the island. And he welcomed us to his home. For 3 days, he entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed. He was suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and they were cured. They honored us in many ways and we were ready to sail. They furnished us with all the supplies that we needed. And after 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We arrived at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up. And on the following day, we reached Pletolai. There we found some brothers who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers there had heard that we were coming. They traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God. He was encouraged. When he got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. And we pause there for a second to talk about what we just read. That's the story of Paul landing on Malta and Paul arriving at Rome. Two places where he could have said, God, why am I here? But maybe God had him right where he needed him. The first point of the sermon as we go into this story is about Malta. Did God need Paul in Malta? Paul could have been saying, God, why didn't you just leave me in Jerusalem? I was in Jerusalem. I was going to talk to the disciples. I could have had a ministry there with Jewish people. It could have been incredible. And yet you let me get arrested. You let me get put on this boat. You let me sit in jail for years as Felix and Festus allowed their political reign to get in the way of his trial. And King Agrippa did nothing to help because Paul had already asked for Caesar. And they crash on this island. And Paul could have said, God, why? Why did you have to put me on Malta? Yes, I went through this storm and it was terrible. Why? And we could say, well, obviously, you guys, he used Paul on the island to spread the gospel. But that would be a lie. Because it doesn't say that. So I can't say that. Can we assume that? I don't know. Because it doesn't talk about that. So why did God put him on the island? Well, let's go through a little bit of what happens. He arrives and they expect this to be a group of prisoners, right? So the islanders would have right away been very cautious. They're islanders. They're not Romans. They're islanders. Some translations say barbarians. It just means they're not Romans. They're from there. They're from Malta. It's the middle of the winter. They should have never been sailing that late into the winter. Why do you think they got swept away by the northeaster? They shouldn't have been sailing in November. You don't sail between November and the beginning of February. I read that in one of my textbooks. Romans considered that suicidal because of how dangerous it was. You park your ship wherever you need to and you wait. So they arrive at Malta. It's the beginning of the winter. They're not going anywhere. They're stuck on an island where they have nothing, no nobody, and they can't leave. So what does God do? God had promised Paul that all the crew would make it there alive, but now they had nothing. They're trying to make this fire together to keep everyone warm. The islanders are showing them unusual kindness. We don't know why, God. And he reaches down and gets his brushwood and throws it in the fire. Snake comes out, bites his hand. The islanders go, whoa, he's going to die. And they're all watching, right? He must have been evil. God got him. And he goes over to the fire and he shakes it off. And they go, oh, wait, he'll die. And he never does. And they go, wow, he is a god. No, he's not. But he serves a living God, and the living God is watching out for him. So now in this moment, the entire island looks at Paul as if he was God. So now they go from having nothing, being stuck on an island for 3 months, to having the awe of the people. So, of course, where does he get taken? To the chief official's house. You got to take this guy. So they take him to Publius's house. Publius probably heard the story of the snake, but has no idea who all these people are. His name is Roman, though. That's a Roman name. You probably didn't know that. But that is Roman in nature. So the fact that they took him to him means he probably wasn't a native of the island. But they took him to him. He would have known that they were all prisoners, and he would have been very cautious. So God provides a sick father. And Publius could have been saying, God, why is my father sick? He has fever. He's not feeling well. He's not keeping stuff inside his stomach. He's going to die. Fever, diarrhea, he's sick. Paul comes in and prays, and God heals the father. All of a sudden, Paul now has the awe of the entire island and the chief official of the island, who lets him stay there for days. And then after, when all the sick start arriving and he's healing them, they're provided with everything they need. God used the island of Malta to save those people. He saved the crew of the ship, saved Paul. He provided the snake, he provided a sick father, and it was all in an effort to save the people. 3 months later, beginning to middle of February, the sailing would begin to open up and people would start sailing their ships. Now it happened, there's an Alexandrian ship there. Alexandrian ships come from which country? They come from Egypt. Alexandria was their huge shipping port. And they sent all their grain to Rome. Rome didn't grow grain like Egypt did. Egypt would ship it there all the time. That was how they got their grain. And I read in one textbook, and it said, like, all of it came from Egypt. Like, Egypt was their source. And it happened that a ship that full of grain is parked there, and they were on a ship that was full of grain before when it crashed. These were ships going to Rome. And it says that the people of the island gave them everything that they needed, and they left. God provided for them. Now they sail, they stop at a couple towns, they meet a couple Christian brothers, and eventually arrive at Rome. And this is the second point now. Did God need Paul in Rome? Did he? Because Paul could have said, God, why? I could have been so much more useful as a preacher if I could have went to all of my churches. I wanted to go back to Ephesus. I wanted to go back to Thessalonica and then Berea and then Corinth and then Athens. I'm trying to think of Acts chapter 16 and 17 all over again, 18. And maybe he wanted to go see all those churches again. But he's stuck in Rome, not knowing if he'll ever leave the city again. Is his ministry over? Is it dead? What's he thinking? Why, God? Why? So what does God allow to happen? Well, as they're sailing, they reached Puteoli and they found some brothers who invited them to spend a week with them. Would Paul have been allowed to just go visit whoever he wanted for a week? Or was the heart of this centurion guard, whose name was Julius, who we meet in the last chapter, was this guard now favorable to Paul? Had he seen Paul shake off a viper? Had he seen Paul heal an island? Did he see Paul make a promise that no one would die on this ship and not a single person died? What did this Roman guard see? All of a sudden, Paul's allowed to visit friends for a week. Interesting, hey? And after they visit these friends, they came to Rome. He said, brothers were even coming down to the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to come meet them. Those are two different towns south of Rome. One about 100 miles away and one about half that distance away. They heard that he was coming. In the book of Romans, Paul says that he wanted to visit Rome so badly. And the book of Romans was written before this happened. Paul had written the book of Romans already. He knew there was a church there. He wanted to visit them. He wasn't able to yet. Now he is. He gets there and he's given a house to live in by himself and just a soldier who's going to just, you know, guard him, make sure things are all right. How? He was a prisoner of Rome and that's how he's treated. God is working in this. So instead of questioning God, why am I locked in Rome? Paul realizes that I was brought through this storm. And now I have an incredible opportunity. I have this home, this house. I'm in the middle of the city I always wanted to go to, the biggest city in the world. What can I do here? Verse 17. Want to read a little more? It says this. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I've done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. Verse 18. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk to you. it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. So they reply back to him, we have not received any letter from Judea concerning you. None of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear, what are your views? What are they? For we know that people everywhere are talking about this sect. What are they talking about? The way, Christianity. It was everyone's talking about Christianity. We haven't heard you did anything wrong. What's Christianity? The leaders of the Jews in Rome just asked Paul, can you tell us the gospel? Why did God bring Paul through this storm? Verse 23, they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day. They came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning until evening, he explained, and he declared to them the kingdom of God. He tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. So he used the Old Testament to teach them. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made his final statement, which was this. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet. So this is a quote from Isaiah that Paul is saying the Holy Spirit wants the Jewish leaders to hear from Isaiah. This is it. Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes. They might hear with their ears, understand with their hearts. And they would turn, and I would heal them. So what Paul is saying is that Isaiah got it right when he said in the Old Testament, Jewish people will listen, Jewish people will see, Jewish people will not believe. That's what Isaiah had to say. That was God and Isaiah back in the Old Testament. And Paul says, so right, so right. You guys are seeing, you're hearing, you're not getting it. Verse 28, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the end of the book of Acts. No trial before Caesar. No story about his death. The death of Paul, what happened? No. It ends with, for 2 years, boldly, without hindrance, he preaches the gospel in his own rented house. God gave him the greatest opportunity that he could have to preach to the people in Rome. Why did God bring Paul through that storm? Was it because he wanted to put him exactly where he needed him? Did Paul realize that when he was in the middle of the ocean and the ship was going back and forth and back and forth and they all thought they were going to die? They were throwing the tackle overboard. They were throwing the grain overboard. What would happen when those Egyptians got to Rome and they had thrown the grain overboard? You think they were going to have a job when they got home? You think they were going to have a life when they got home? Would the Roman soldiers just kill them? They were throwing the grain overboard. It was over. Paul had no idea that in that moment, God was preparing him for the most incredible 2 years of preaching. There was no riots, no arrests. He didn't get yelled at, chased out of town, stoned. For 2 years, he was able to preach, and people came to his house. The third and final thought I want to give you today through this sermon is does God have you right where he needs you? Maybe he has you right where he needs you. Cooper, his birthday is on June 26th, and I am still asking myself, why did God bring me through that? What was he trying to teach me? Why am I here? But he brought me through that storm, and I'm a different person because of that storm. What storm have you gone through? What storm are you going through right now? It could be anything. I gave a couple examples, four different ones on the screen. The church, the city, the job, and the family. Why does God have you in this church? Maybe you wish you were somewhere else. Maybe you wish our church was different. Why does God have you in this city? Maybe you wish you were somewhere else. Maybe you wish he had you somewhere else. Maybe the job you're in or the hobbies that you have, maybe you wish that your life would have went differently so you wouldn't be where you are. Maybe there's a storm going on and you just wish it wasn't going on in that area. Or maybe it's your family. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe your family's broken up. Maybe your kids don't believe in the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're a widow and your husband or your wife is gone and you blame God. And that was a storm in your life and you blame God. Why? Maybe God has you right where he needs you. Maybe God needs you there. But we don't think that way. And this is kind of what I want you to be thinking about as you go home. Because you all have different storms than me. Not all of you sat in the hospital and watched your sick baby. I did. You didn't do that, maybe. Maybe your storm is different. Maybe you're in the middle of your storm right now and you're upset. Maybe you just finished your storm. Maybe you moved somewhere new. Maybe you just retired. Maybe you're just starting. Maybe you lost your job. You're like, God, why? Maybe God has you right where he needs you. Maybe he's about to teach you something. Maybe he's about to reach other people through you and your story. So would you stop complaining? Would you stop blaming God? And would you start asking God, God, why do you have me here? That's what I had to tell myself in the hospital, because I was blaming God. I was upset. So I had to tell myself, Darren, stop blaming God and ask him, why am I here? A whole bunch of people, 20-some people, just became members today. Our church is very different than it used to be 5 years ago, 4 years ago when I came. God is changing it. Membership is different. Maybe that was a storm for you. Maybe you wished that that had went a different direction. Maybe God brought us through all of that storm to put us right where he needed us, right here, right now. So what opportunity is God giving you? What ministry, what way can you step into your next step of obedience to God? What is the next step for you? What is God calling you to do? Maybe he's put you right where he needs you to do it. It's time to step up. It's time to do it. That's what I keep telling myself. Can I pray for you before we go? Then we're all done. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that reading through your scripture will have an impact on us. That sharing stories with each other can have an impact on us. And I pray so much for the people in my family, in this church, that you will reveal to them why you brought them where they are right now. That your Holy Spirit would be revealing to people right now, why did you bring them through that storm? And what are you calling them to do as their next step of obedience? Why are they there? Why am I where I am, God? Show that to me. Father, we trust you. You are in control in every storm. As much as we don't like being in the storms, you take us through them for a reason. You lost your own son in a storm for us. And that would have hurt so much. So, God, we give you praise because you are our Father. You love us. You take good care of us. You are in control in every moment. And you are so excited for where you're going to take us. Thank you for your love, God, that does not end. Thank you that you are the creator of our universe and that you care about me and how I'm doing. And you want to check up on me. God, we love you. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys very much. Have a good week.